So we know there's been a DOJ bipartisan cover-up for now almost 20 years of what was happening with Epstein, the Mossad, MI6, CIA operative, and the huge honeypot operation he was running that he took over from Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert Maxwell. He also worked for former attorney general's dad at the girls' school, Barr.
Bill Barr's father, Donald Barr, was the mentor to Jeffrey Epstein. He was literally, you know, was a student of Bill Barr's dad.
The emails we have, the millions of them, are so damning. The cannibalism, the sex slavery, the genetic engineering.
There's girls that were there that testified that he had rooms as big as this room right now that were filled with servers and computers and monitors that were recording all that footage that he had, and not only on the island, but in New York, the Zora Ranch, everywhere.
He on had a plane.
Cameras.
The plane was rigged and everywhere.
Where's all that footage?
I can't tell you.
Really?
Yeah. It has to be the right time, the right day.
Let me ask you this. I'm sorry to put a legendary Mossad assassin on the hot seat. But if I was to guess, do you think I would guess right?
Probably. That's why we shouldn't talk about
okay.
it right now.
All right.
And if you look at satellite photos of it and drone photos, you can see the snorkels that come up around the house and 100 yards out from it or so. Those, you don't have those big concrete air vents for structures that don't have things under them.
I will tell you the search took 11 days to actually, you know, drone out the whole entire property. So that tells you what a vast property this was and how large it was.
So we were told the feds went in with cadaver searching dogs and went in with ground penetrating radar. And now we learn none of that was true. The feds did a deal in 2019 when Trump was first in his first administration to let them run the investigation, but that they would then give the state their findings. They haven't done that.
In the Epstein files, one document describes an April 2020 account given to the FBI in Albuquerque from someone whose name is redacted and makes the unsubstantiated claim that one of Epstein's Zorro Ranch victims was raped and became pregnant before the baby was then sacrificed and buried at the Christ United Methodist Church near Albuquerque. We reached out to the FBI Public Affairs Office in Albuquerque and asked if the FBI investigated or followed up on the reported claim, and if so, what were the findings? In an email, the office responded, "We have no comment at this time."
We know from a tip back in 2019 that was never investigated that there was an allegation that two women were buried on the public leased land there. And so we are still waiting for that part of the investigation to be open.
Were human remains found? Were they not found?
I can't tell you if they were or weren't found, but I guess what I would say is, let's say cadaver dogs did not find anything. It doesn't change the fact that there maybe still could be something there.
These images of Zorro Ranch taken in the early 2000s were given to EWTN News by a former worker at the ranch. Former workers told us they would agree to speak about their time at Zorro Ranch if the New Mexico Truth Commission called on them to testify.
They need to be reached out to, preferably by law enforcement, but they will play, I think, a big role in you know, what may or may not have happened at the ranch.
As we continue to formally commence this subcommittee, subpoenas will very likely be issued for those that do not want to voluntarily come forward and speak to us as a subcommittee.
Fundamentally, we need Todd Blanche and the United States Department of Justice to stop stonewalling this agency. It's been 173 days since we first asked for unredacted access to the complete Epstein files, and we still don't have that access, despite repeated assurances from Mr. Blanche, Jay Clayton, and others that they would cooperate with this investigation and help us move things forward so we could try and hold people accountable here in New Mexico.
Specifically, the main thing that this new bill does that we've introduced is forces the U.S. Attorney General to cooperate with state attorneys general that want to prosecute Epstein co-conspirators under state law. And it turns out in New Mexico, that's where the Zorro Ranch was. You hear a lot about Epstein Island. You hear almost nothing about Zorro Ranch. But it was expansive. It was massive. People were going there all the time. Crimes were committed there. And some of those aren't barred by statute of limitations. And so the Attorney General in New Mexico would like to prosecute those crimes. And so we're making it easier with this bill. That's one of the things it does.
ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the War Room is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. AlexJonesLive.com. Coming to you from the Alex Jones Network. TheAlexJonesStore.com is where you go to support us. I don't know, guys, have we sold out yet? Have we sold out of our concealed carry fanny pack yet? Because it's going to sell out pretty fast. This thing is going quick. And it's a tactical concealed carry bag. So you can, you know, it's designed for easy, quick access to your everyday carry firearm. But it's also just a very cool bag. Comes with five distinct patches along with it, which each one of these, I mean, the patches alone are worth the full price you're paying for this thing. I think it's only $39.99 on thealexjonesstore.com, but you get five patches with it. These patches we could sell for probably $15 a piece if we wanted. We'd probably sell out of these. But you get five of them along with your bags. You can customize it, of course, put your own patches on if you want. But it's a very cool piece of equipment and is going to sell out fast. So if you want to get yours, go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Just one of many ways to support us. Of course, just sharing the link, sharing the content is a fantastic way as well. Of course, just talking about it with your friends and family does more than you know. We have a lot coming up this week. I'll potentially be doing a debate tomorrow night with Zero Hedge, although it keeps getting rescheduled. So we'll see how that goes. But I'm going to open up the phone lines for this last hour, and I want to take your calls, and I want to just do as many like short calls as we can. Like if you just have some piece of information you think I need to know, something you may think I may have missed, something I said, and maybe you can correct me, think I'm wrong about something, whatever it is, give us a call. We'll take your call in this last hour, 512-266-0642. The number again, 512-266-0642. Give us a call here on the War Room. We'll take your calls just as soon as they start coming in. We'll go to those really about any topic. But what I want to know is what people think we can do politically to pull us out of the fire. What is going to happen over the next couple of years? Because I do want to expand our scope a little bit and talk not just about midterms, but midterms go one way, what's the outcome of that? If midterms go another way, what's the outcome of that? And if you zoom out and really look at, you know, where we are and where we're going, the trajectory is not exactly positive. Certainly not with DSA members winning elections and, you know, establishment Democrats, you know, beating them occasionally. But certainly the way things are going is not in our favor, and we're going to have to make a change of trajectory. Is that even possible in the current political landscape? Let me know what you think. Give us a call, 512-266-0642, and we'll go out to those calls as soon as they come in. We do have some breaking news here, broke a little bit earlier. Officials say U.S. forces are on track to complete the Iraq pullout by September 30th. Which wouldn't that be an amazing headline in any other timeline? Wouldn't that have been an amazing headline to read around this time last year before we were in war with Iran? And how weird is it that now that we're at war with Iran, now we're pulling out of Iraq? That's interesting. I mean, I've been joking since, you know, first couple of weeks of this war that I did want us to get out of the Middle East, just not like this.
just not like this, not running with our tail between our legs, not because we've been bombed out of the Middle East, not because our bases have been destroyed. And this is one of those, if you really want to get into the 5D chess, which, as I was explaining yesterday, everything Trump does, you can interpret it like this. And I do not believe that this is the case, but there is something funnily ironic, humorously ironic about the fact that we want Trump to get out of the Middle East. We've been begging to get America out of the Middle East and shut down our bases for years and years and years. And apparently all we need to do is go to war with Iran. Apparently go to war with Iran, then not only do you take the bases out of the Middle East, they clean them up for you. They take out the arrays that we would have had to leave there otherwise. So, you know, very convenient. But I wonder if this doesn't have to do, because when Trump met with the Iraqi prime minister, I believe it was, in the Oval Office last month, I noticed a couple of things that he said that made me think, okay, they are still aiming for boots on the ground in Iran. They're not going to do American boots on the ground. It looks like they're trying to establish some sort of Kurdish Iraqi militia force to do the on the ground fighting for them. And, you know, Trump just saying things like, oh, this guy's a great leader in Iraq and other places, just like little things that was like, okay, this makes sense. This makes sense. They're now working with Iraq, working with Turkey, working with the Kurdish, you know, people who refused to participate at first with Iran. But maybe if we sweeten the deal a little bit, or maybe if we gave them some weapons that they wanted, it seems like that is one of the strategies that they're pursuing in how to continue the Iran war is use Iraqis to do it. And I wonder if this has anything to do with that, or if this is just because we cannot defend our bases in the Middle East, so we have to move them away from the danger zone more into Jordan and on the borders of Israel, because we don't actually have any bases in Israel, you know, even though they're our greatest ally in the region. And obviously, you know, according to a lot of people, we control them. They do not allow us to have bases in their country. We do have bases in Lebanon and Jordan and all over the place, but not inside Israel itself. So we're moving everything back to around to like where Jordan is. We're not even really trying to protect the Gulf state allies as we were, which is why they're sort of pushing us to settle this thing once and for all. U.S. military is on track to pull all of its forces out of Iraq by the end of September, officials said Wednesday, marking the end of a presence that started with the 2003 invasion against Saddam Hussein. Yeah, so guess that proves all you wrong who said it was a forever war, huh? Yeah, you said it was a forever war. Really, it was just a 23-year war, okay? So last time I checked, 23 years was not forever, okay? So if a war doesn't last until the end of time, I guess you can't call it a forever war, can you? So I guess that proves all the naysayers wrong who said we'd be stuck in the quagmire of Iraq forever. Not forever, only for a generation, okay? Washington and Baghdad agreed in 2024 to wind down the much smaller U.S.-led operations against the Islamic State group. U.S. troops pulled out of bases in most areas of Iraq last year, but maintained a presence in the semi-autonomous northern Kurdish region. Bases there have regularly come under attack since the U.S. and Israel launched the war in Iran on February 28th. Iraqi Prime Minister Ali al-Zadi met with Admiral Brad Cooper, who leads the U.S. CENT command. On Wednesday, al-Zadi said that in a statement afterwards that he had affirmed September 30th as the fixed and final date for ending the military mission of the global coalition to defeat ISIS in Iraq and completing the departure of the forces. We did it. We won. I guess. In a way, from a certain perspective. So, yeah, that's the latest there, as well as this, which, again, I just, what are you even supposed to say? Trump says the U.S. now has total control over the Strait of Hormuz and might, quote, keep it. Okay, man, I guess, you know, whatever. I mean, literally, it's like, what are you even supposed to say? Trump puts out these truth tweets. I can't even bother to read them, because like, who cares? What he's saying doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You can't actually glean anything from it. You know, it doesn't matter, really. It's honestly like when I scroll past his truth social posts on, you know, people post on X, new Trump social, I almost can hear the like TV in the background, you know, where it's like you're reading, you know, I can see his words, and it's just like you just hear like, and it's like, okay, and whatever, you know, it's just like noise. It's just noise. Doesn't mean anything. We own the strait now. Okay, great. Just nuts. The number of vessels tracked transitioning the Strait of Hormuz fell to a one-week low of just 8, according to a data reported by the Reuters news agency. About 130 ships a day passed through the vital waterway before the war started on February 28th. 6 people on a vessel in the Red Sea were killed by the Iran-backed Houthi rebels, Yemen's Coast Guard said on Tuesday. So we control the strait. We've won the war 50 times. It's not a war, except it is two distinct wars. And all of it's nonsense, and none of it ever had to happen and shouldn't have happened and shouldn't continue happening. But here we are. Out to your calls now. Bart in Georgia. Thanks for calling in, Bart. And again, I want to go to as many as possible, so try to keep your comments to about a minute or two if you can. Thanks for calling in, Bart. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. I heard you talking about late-term abortion, and I don't disagree with what you said, but you didn't provide a solution. I know how to stop it. Using block cameras against the people that put them in. Every time a residing female goes to get a late abortion in another state, track them and arrest them, and then that will stop the rest of them from going. So use their own technology against them to stop late-term abortion and to track the organ trade of all the cars going in and out.
You know, that would probably be that would certainly cause a lot of strife on the Democrat side if they were to find flock cameras outside of abortion clinics like we see them outside of gun ranges. But they're not going outside of abortion clinics, are they? Yeah, no, the easy way to stop it is to make it illegal. That's basically it. That's how you stop murder. You make it illegal. Problem solved. Really, I think what needs to happen is there needs to be, and I've been saying this for years, I've been saying this for the entire time of InfoWars, there needs to be some law, and it needs to go beyond the law, it needs to be a genuine understanding of the American people. There needs to be something about the sacredness of DNA, the sanctity of DNA, that your DNA, the moment you're conceived, is different from either one of your parents' DNA. And I think you have an inalienable human right to unaltered DNA. And when you focus on the DNA aspect, it's pretty obvious that you're not your mom, right? The baby in the belly has a different DNA than the mother has. So it's not the same person. It's not an outgrowth of the mother. It is an independent, unique human being with its own DNA that is unlike anybody else's DNA. It's only half like its mom's. It's not its mother's DNA. It's something different entirely. That way, you can not only make the case for not allowing abortions because, yes, it's a crime of murder, but that murder is defined by severing the continuation of a unique strand of DNA, which should be illegal. But it would also, and I think we should be thinking about this now so we're not having to react once these things happen, it would also potentially preclude altering DNA in the womb of the baby. I think, like, if you say DNA is sacred and it is a manifestation from God and that we are not allowed to either end this unique life as defined by its DNA or alter its DNA in any way, because you as a human being have a right to be born naturally with your natural condition and your natural characteristics. And I think it's extremely troubling knowing that not only are people aborting babies at 34 weeks, but also the technology to change people's DNA in the womb or alter them in some way, designer babies, this sort of stuff. I think it is a violation of their human rights before they're even born, and we should be concerned about that. So that would be my solution, is write a law about the sacredness of DNA and how every human has a right to their DNA being unaltered without their permission and informed consent. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Sean in California now. Go ahead, Sean. You're on the air.
Yeah, Chase, Harrison. Sorry about that. Brain fart.
You're all good.
I was thinking with all this time and everything we just had discussing, you know, Brandon, yourself, others having these debates, that's exactly with the one-year anniversary of Charlie's passing coming on, that's exactly what the globalists can't have, is we coming together as people, having debates and discussions. And I was thinking perhaps with that anniversary coming up, maybe you guys at InfoWars could have maybe a candlelight vigil and some type of panel in which you guys all discuss what, you know, Charlie's passing meant to our movement of patriots across the country, because I know people from all different causes who were all grieved when Charlie passed. I went to his Riverside event out here at UCR, and you know, there were thousands of people there. This thing is a generational thing, and it's not so much who killed him or who didn't kill him. It's what they wanted to do as a message. They don't want us coming together and having honest conversations and moving forward as a people. So I'd like to get your take on that. Maybe you guys doing an event or something, and I'll give it up to you, Harrison. Go for it.
I think that's a absolutely fantastic idea. I do think that this has been the greatest disappointment in everything following Charlie Kirk's assassination, is that it didn't bring us closer together like it should have. It maybe did for a few days or so, but the division happened pretty dang quickly. And again, I don't even understand this, because – and in a way, there are times where I'm like, is this my fault? Because like – and obviously I didn't mean to, but I did provide sort of the best evidence. Still to this date, I would consider it the best evidence of being suspicious of Israel. I don't regret it or anything, but there are times where I'm just like, how did we mess this up so bad? How did we go so off the rails? I was, you know, one of the first, and it's funny because you can still watch my interviews and you know, videos from September of 2025. I believe everything, like nothing has changed since then. Nothing has changed at all. And at the time it was like, hey, look, I think there's very good reason to think Israel's doing it, but the left is the one celebrating it. The left are the ones like, actually cheering for this and making videos, laughing about it and talking about how they want it to happen to more people. We have to focus on that. It's always been confusing to me that it's that we didn't do that because people are questioning it. Like, that doesn't make any sense. You can question the thing, but also just better safe than sorry, go after the people who are celebrating it and providing the civilizational paradigm in a, where a thing like this could happen. So it's been such a disappointment, and obviously, you know, his death left a gigantic gaping hole in the array of Republican institutions, and it's just, it's created a rift that is so hugely damaging to our movement, however you want to define that. But the movement that includes Nick Fuentes and Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump, like this movement of the West and Christianity, however you want to define it, has been so severely damaged by this, when in reality it should have, we should have been able to make lemonade out of the lemon. So yeah, I think absolutely, you know, the anniversary of his murder will be a very pertinent time for reflection and hopefully, you know, coming together and reminding ourselves of how we felt the day it happened, which we've played the video a couple times, and you know, I was sitting behind the desk at the Infowars studio going, we are going to tear these people up. Trump is going to unleash the hounds. And finally, we're going to see some movement. Finally, it's becoming aware, you know, it's becoming apparent to everybody the danger that we're all in and the seriousness with which we need to take it. And it just didn't happen and just never happened, which again is why I asked Brandon, like, you know, isn't it the leadership that's doing this? Because the people, we're like, we want this to happen. We're like begging for it to happen. But we know that, like, we do not have the ability. I can't go out and punish a leftist. Like, that's a crime. I'll be arrested. They're not going to go easy on me. We need the government to do this. That's why we put them in. And it's to avoid the ultimate clash of violence later that we need the government to do it in a systematic and lawful way now. So hopefully, a year on, maybe we can push that message on the anniversary, God willing. Thank you for the call, Sean. Troy in Texas is on the line now. Go ahead, Troy. You want to talk about this pullout of Iran? You're on the air.
Hi.
Howdy.
Hi, Harrison. I agree with you. We need to get out of Iran. And that you were saying, somebody said, we've won the Iraqi war. If that was a general or whoever it was that said that, why don't we remind him about the babies in the incubator and that the whole thing was a fraud? He needs to step down in disgrace. Mm-hmm. I also want Michael Flynn to step down in disgrace because he knows all about 9/11, and I wouldn't doubt that he helped run it.
Hmm.
I want him stepping down. He's a fraud. But I want to tell you, Harrison, yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, it's just, you know, it's like with everything that we've suffered in the last 10 years, from Russiagate to COVID to transgender, all this stuff, it's like, we never even got justice for 9/11. We're 30 years behind. It just hit me while you were saying that. But go on. Continue, sir.
Yes, you're right. And what I want to say, what we should be going to war with or about, and I haven't heard you talk about this, and Alex might have touched on it, but not enough. What is unacceptable, Harrison, is that South Korea has become communist. It is unacceptable. We will not let China touch Taiwan, but yet here we're set back and let South Korea be taken over.
Well, why do you say that? That was out of left field for me. I hadn't heard anything about that. What do you know about South Korea? I mean, I know they had that big scandal where their president was in a cult. I mean, South Korea is kind of a weird place. Is it being taken over by communists? I would think they're the one country that, like, I mean, they're like the Israel of communism, right? I mean, they understand the threat and have a militarized border with North Korea. How are they falling for communism?
Okay, well, I thought they were taken over. Possibly I'm wrong on that. I thought they fell to communism.
You might know more than I do. There's been some bizarre, you know, political upheavals there. But you think we should be focusing more on that? I mean, we're taking away batteries from South Korea to go put them in the Middle East because we're you know, Iran destroyed all of our missile launchers there. So we're sort of leaving South Korea out to flap a little bit.
Yeah, I don't like that part. I want them free. I don't want them falling to communism. And I might have made an error on that one. I'm not 100%. I'm sorry on that one.
Well, you might be right. Like I said, I just don't know. But we'll, you know, maybe that's something we need to look into. You know, thank you so much for the call, Troy. I'm going to go quickly to Godzilla here before we go to break because he's talking about Japan, close to South Korea. Maybe there's a connection there. Thanks for calling in, Godzilla. You're on the air.
Yeah, to your question, I think one of the most important things that we've yet to do as American white Christians and American Christians in general is we need our own form of synagogue. We need to assemble weekly or daily like the Jewish people do at the synagogue and work together. Many hands make light work. That's how this country was formed, with the founding fathers in bars and pubs meeting all the time and figuring out these problems and working together, because it's too huge of a problem for any small group of people to do alone. And
that is really, with the founding fathers, that was like, you know, Masonry sort of provided that. That was sort of the informal network where, you know, the leaders of the area would go and meet. It would be like, you know, Masonic temples, right?
Yes. Yeah. You know, about a third of the U.S. presidents were openly Masonic, had Masonic ties. You know, a lot of George Washington and a lot of the original OG ones were heavily involved in the Masonic Lodge. And that's kind of like obviously a group that's toe-to-toe with Israel right now. And, you know, you talk about the Israel influence, but I think the Masons have them a lot in check, and there's actually a battle between them because of COVID, with a lot of the Masons getting the injection from the infiltrated medical system here, and, you know, kind of a pseudo-war between secret societies, which always happens. You know, it's not just one giant group. It's many different groups.
And, well, I think you're exactly right. We're coming up on a commercial break. I'm sorry to cut you off, but no, I completely agree. And look, the thing is, a lot of people are sort of recognizing this, and there's a market there now for, you know, sort of private clubs. And I encourage you, like, go look around, go on X, go on Facebook, and start looking for a group, you know, in your hometown. These aren't secret societies, but they are like private clubs where you can go and meet people and talk. And, you know, you go to one of these things. I've been to a few of them here in Austin with a great group of conservative people. And it really is refreshing. Like, you come away with it way more hopeful and going, okay, at least there's like 50 dudes in this city that have my back and are on the right train. It's just not secret.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones. And the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
There you go, folks. Happening now in Spain. The beauty of a solar eclipse. Absolutely incredible. One of those times. It's made unavoidably clear that we are on a rock flying through space. And we probably don't deserve it. We're going to go out to your calls here momentarily. I have a few more things to cover, including this story, which should send shivers down your spine if you've been paying attention to this stuff for any amount of time. Should be very troubling to you, not only to learn that the head of Mossad is now taking over a debatably American defense tech company, but what that company does and is doing and is designed to do. Story from Cal Cali's Tech. Ondas.com. Former Mossad chief David Barnea joins Ondas as defense tech company builds AI-powered warfare platform. Former Mossad director David Barnea is moving from Israel's intelligence establishment to the private defense industry, joining NASDAQ-listed Ondas as global president and chairman of its defense division at a time when the company is attempting one of the most ambitious consolidation efforts in the rapidly expanding autonomous warfare market. Ah, yes, the autonomous warfare market. Do you love capitalism? Barnea's appointment comes after Ondas spent the last year aggressively expanding through acquisitions, buying defense technology companies across the United States, Israel, and Europe as it seeks to combine drones, intelligence systems, counter-drone capabilities, robotics, and artificial intelligence into a unified military technology platform. The company recently agreed to acquire U.S. defense technology company DZYNE, D-Z-Y-N-E Technologies, for $875.8 million, its largest acquisition to date. The deal followed purchases of Israeli mission management software company Omnisys for approximately $200 million and Scotland-based CyberHawk for approximately $125 million, alongside earlier acquisitions including Israeli companies Aerobiotics, Roboteam, and Synetrix. Okay, so it looks like this looks like we're probably going to be hearing a lot more about this Ondas Corporation, and it sounds like they're building the unified platform to bring all of these various autonomous military technologies into one paradigm that they can wield in total at once. The strategy has transformed Ondas from a niche autonomous systems company into a broader defense technology group focused on what it describes as multi-domain warfare, integrating intelligence connection, collection, communications, autonomous platforms, and AI-powered decision-making. It's being led by the former head of Mossad, who was head of Mossad from 2021 through 2026, which means he's still in Mossad, meaning Ondas Defense Limited, an American company, is now effectively serving as the, you know, private version of the globalist control system. I, again, think we need to pay attention to, especially, like, what the people who are doing this say. Maybe now would be a good time to rewatch the Eighth Front War documentary on my ex at Harrison H. Smith, because they laid out pretty clearly the way that first you need to consolidate all of AI into a single platform, and only then can you have the ubiquitous, comprehensive surveillance necessary to enslave everyone, so this seems like a step in that direction. Just crazy. But just, I hope you understand, you know, what this really means. When the head of the CIA or the head of Mossad is going to become in charge of a defense technology company who out of nowhere has been able to make billion-dollar acquisitions of all of these various autonomous warfare systems, combining them all in one place, where do they get the money? They bring it out of thin air. It's not, this isn't a matter of like, oh, they think it's profitable to buy this. This is a like globalist control scheme operation. That's all this is. So the money is immaterial. It doesn't matter to them. They aren't trying to make a profit. They don't necessarily have to. They simply are like, okay, here's the design. We're going to need a company to be the umbrella company over all these others. In order to do that, they're going to have to buy up these other companies. And I'm sure Ondas is owned by BlackRock, which is why we like to depict the New World Order Illuminati power class network of the powers that be as a pyramid, because this is how you create that pyramid structure. You have a corporation at the top who owns divisions of all these other companies, and that way you have one very small number of controllers who can wield control over a vast amount of humanity who don't even know they're being controlled because they're simply taking directives from their corporation's management, not knowing that it's all coming from literally Mossad. Let's go now. I want to go to this clip because this just, I don't even know what to say about this. So clip number 13 here from Kanoka the Great. Fox News' John Roberts says he developed pericarditis after his COVID shot. Let's watch.
Breaking right now, Republican Senators Ron Johnson and Rand Paul releasing the first batch of text messages from Dr. Anthony Fauci's government iPhone. In one exchange from January of 2021, Fauci, then CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, and then Surgeon General Vivek Murthy discussed COVID vaccination and pregnant women. Fauci flags a potential concern after the second dose, writing that many people experience, quote, significant cytokine storm and fever, and that this, quote, theoretically could be associated with miscarriage in the first trimester. Walensky responds, quote, definitely a good point, especially after dose two. A cytokine storm is essentially when the body releases too many inflammatory signals that could cause high fever, inflammation, and in extreme cases, life-threatening illness. So this is just coming to light now, Sandra, that Fauci had these concerns. And I remember when I got the boosters, I developed pericarditis, then that went away. Then when I had the second booster, it came roaring back again. So, you know, the body reacts differently to these things depending on who you are.
Okay. A couple things about this. First of all, Anthony Fauci and Rochelle Lewinsky are mass murderers. Okay, so they should probably be charged with that. I understand that their co-conspirator used a robot to write them a pardon covering everything they ever did ever, things charged and not charged. I don't think we need to be bound by that when seeking justice for the mass murder that they carried out. That would be first off. Second off, you got pericarditis from the COVID shot, and then you got another COVID shot. That's what he said right there. He said he got pericarditis, which is like myocarditis, just like a severe heart condition, after his first shot, and then it came back when he got his booster shot. This is the type of thing that it's like, are you a human being? Are you a human being? Do you have the ability to think for yourself? You did something that gave you a heart condition, and then you did it again. A thing that never had to happen, for a vaccine for a disease that was never a danger to you. You got pericarditis and then you went back for another one. The man should be in a cage. The man is not fit to be a human being. And he doesn't even realize it. He says this like it's normal. Like he doesn't even realize what he's saying. It's this type of thing that's just like, again, what am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to say? I can sit there and be like, you shouldn't get a booster. It might give you a heart disease. And what do I do if the person's like, no, it already did. No, I already did get the heart thing from the shot. I'm going again. Okay, then kill yourself. I don't care anymore because what the hell is wrong with you? What the hell is wrong with everybody is my question. Crazy. Oh, it's just absolutely insane. Finally, we'll go out to your calls just after this video, but I got to show you that. I mean, I got to show you this one. I can't not show you this one. Clip 23 from The Telegraph. So Ceuta in Spain is still absolutely inundated with migrants. Their beach looks like Africa now. Big surprise. Totally destroyed and horrifying. Children have been raped. Women have been raped. It's been the disaster that it obviously was. Thank you, America and Israel, for this very clever maneuver you did. But they've decided to do something different. And this is everything all in one, right? Let's go to clip number 23. As The Telegraph reports, the queue of migrants watched in bemusement as volunteer clowns attempt to lift their spirits. Dutch clowns have been sent to entertain migrants at the camps. A troop of three clowns are associated with aid organization Salam Noord. They performed for migrants queuing for food at the Loon Plague Camp in southern France. And just what are we doing? Just what are we doing here? You're dressing up like clowns to entertain the invaders? This must be so baffling to the migrants. I guess the idea, this would make sense, potentially, if they were real refugees. Yeah, clowns entertain migrants and smugglers bound for Britain. This just must be so weird for the migrants. Jugglers and smugglers together at last. Jugglers and smugglers. You know, if this was like a bunch of children right, who are fleeing from war and have been traumatized, maybe they'd love to see a clown. Maybe it would lift their spirits. It's like they're treating these people. These people are just rapists and murderers here for plunder. And yet it's we're playing this big game like we're pretending like they're these poor, besotted migrant refugees who, like, we need to lift their spirits. They're like, maybe it's a defense. I don't know. Have any of the clowns been raped? Maybe this is a new, you know, we know that women in Europe walk around with pigs to keep the migrants away, or dogs sometimes. They, you know, make themselves look unattractive so they don't get stared at and groped on the train. What if they all dressed up like clowns? What if women dressed up like clowns? How do Muslims feel about that? Could be worth a try. Could backfire. We don't know. But I just, you know, there's just something about the absurdity of a bunch of adult men invading a country in order to conquer it. And the people being invaded are like, send out the clowns to entertain them while they stand in line. And we systematically, like very, in a very orderly fashion, deliver the plunder to them. It's genuinely insane. It's genuine. And I would love to like hear what the migrants think about it, if they have any idea what the hell is going on. Only 50 miles away or meters away, gangs of Kurdish people smugglers huddled in tents and plotted the next batch of crossings over the English Channel. Send the clowns with them. Put the clowns in the boat. See what happens. All right. Out to your calls now. But I mean, come on, guys. Dutch clowns welcoming the invader rapist. Great. It's great. Let's go to Friendly. Friendly in Minnesota. Thanks for calling in. Friendly, you're on the air. Friendly.
Here today. And can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. I was listening to Alex earlier today, and a lot of the callers had a lot of good solutions. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do certain political things, but I think if we search our feelings in our heart of hearts, I think we all know where this ends.
Rivers of blood? Are you talking about the rivers of blood I see when I close my eyes?
Something like that. And yeah. I think that instinct that we have, that's your ancestors calling out to you to say you need to save civilization or everything is lost. And the problem with white people, and ironically enough, our greatest strength, is that we tend to intellectualize everything.
Mm.
And I think we need to learn to turn it off, just temporarily, because if we don't, we will perish. We need to think of a survival mindset, and you cannot reason with these people. And ironically enough, this is one of the areas where the maritime admiralty law weirdos are right. We don't have a nation. We don't have justice. We are slaves. We are lambs for the slaughter in a slaughterhouse. And we need to start acting like that. So my solution is this. If you are a white man of fighting age, join your local active club. I'm not going to tell you how to find them. You can figure it out for yourself. If you're too lazy to do it, I can't help you. They will meet up with you and vet you. You'll put on some gear and you'll spar. You'll go to the gym and work out. You'll go for a hike. You will build camaraderie. What we need is collectivization, collective action. We need to become intimidating. I call it good old boy nationalism. Bunch of white boys in pickup trucks going out in the neighborhood and making their communities safe, because the cops won't do it. No one's coming to help us. And I think the sooner we do that, we will quickly realize how easy it is. If you look at 1933, when the National Socialists came to power, they basically turned the entire country around in a year. And I think once we gain a little momentum, we will be shocked by how easy it is, and we will feel ashamed that we didn't do it sooner.
I want you to keep going, Friendly. I completely agree with what you're saying. And hell, you could point to 1933, or you could point to El Salvador, where they equally, you know, cleaned everything up. Obviously, you know, it's weird because our situation is worse than El Salvador because of how big we are and how complicated we are. But they had a worse, you know, crime system that, you know, we could very much follow, follow their pattern. I completely agree. What advice would you have for, you know, obviously you're not going to tell people exactly which groups to join or anything, but just give people a starting point. Like if I'm a young man or a middle-aged guy that wants to get involved in a active group, what would I search? What terms would I start with? And certainly how would I find one in my area? Any tips for that?
Telegram, active club. State, they're in every single state in America. They're all over Europe. France is huge with them. They're all over the place. And Harrison, buddy, you're not going to like me saying this, but you got to go to the gym. I'm sorry. I know you don't like it. I know you don't want to hear it. I know you have time. You can do 50 push-ups, dude. You can do 100 push-ups. I need you to become a threat because I want you to survive this. You have no idea what's coming. Well, you do, but it's going to get so bad. And we need to be a threat. The threat that we face is not just death. It is our wife and our children getting raped to death in front of us, and there's nothing we can do about it. A fate far worse than death. And if we are not able to put a spanking on these people, then it's all lost. And we have to do it. And a lot of these problems would resolve themselves. The women problem, it's their ultimate sexual fantasy to have some white knight, no pun intended, come in and save the day, rescue them from some savage.
Well, that's kind of the best
problems instantly.
That's the best example is the fact that progressive women are going towards Islam and are like, you're genuinely like, well, they're the strong men. What are you going to do about it? They're going to beat you up. I mean, literally, they gravitate towards strength, and it is completely in contradiction of everything they claim to believe, but you see the results. I mean, there's something very fundamental about this. Absolutely. And I mean, I've been pointing this out for a while, especially in places like the UK. It's not just that they are being trained and because they have diversity programs that they don't mess with the Muslims. It's because the Muslims will kill them. It's because the Muslims have weapons and walk around in gangs and beat people up. And the cops literally are incapable of stopping them. It is actually their physical presence and the physical threat they pose, which makes them untouchable by the government. That's absolutely true.
If we are culpable for any of these white women who get hurt, any of these children, although it wasn't us who brought them in, although it wasn't us who did the bad acts, it is our duty to defend our race, period.
And obviously, the race is the thing that's under attack, which again, it's like, you might not, you know, think about things in this way, but your enemies do. So like, You might sit there going, well, I'm not a white supremacist. I don't you know, consider myself a white person or whatever, you know, however these people justify their stances. It doesn't matter because you are white and they see you as white and they see you as an enemy and they hate white people and are trying to destroy you. So it's like it's not even an option for you to like not see yourself like that. It doesn't matter. You're targeted for your race. So like you accept that already. Make white people scary again. I feel like that's what you're saying.
Yes, exactly. You nailed it. Have a good one, Harrison.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that was powerful. I really like that. It's true. Collectivization. And this is why I think the whole, you know, individualism and small government thing, it's just been a psyop. It's just been a complete psyop that only one race is falling for. And that makes it untenable. If everybody went along with it, okay, now we can have a discussion. But when it's literally everybody else happy to use the government to their own ends, happy to, you know, get in power and benefit their constituency, then okay, that's the way the game is played. You have to just play the game or else you lose. And in this case, you lose, you die. So play the game. I completely agree. Thank you for that call, friend. Let's go to Nick in Arizona now. Thank you for calling in, Nick. Perhaps we have a political out here in the midterms, or is the politics over and our friend Friendly is right. There's just time to train. Nick, what do you think about the midterms?
Well, I think your friend could be correct. And thanks for taking my call, Harrison.
Thank you.
I have been under a lawfare 12 lawsuits since 2022 under a far left group, basically equivalent to the Black Lives Matter. I've tracked all their funding through the NGO network. I mean, the same group that funded the Southern Law Poverty Center is the same group that's funding the group that's attacked me. It's NDN Collective. That's NDN spelled out, but removed all the vowels. So it's NDN. And I'm really disappointed in Trump and the lackluster response in regards to the weaponization of government and those that have been targeted. This would have not went forward if the DOJ did not bring forth their investigation, which, by the way, I still cannot get the findings from their investigation. So I think Trump needs to come clean with the American people and say the complaint department's open and start tracking who did what and take the grievances. And I really think that's the only way he can win the midterm, as he comes to the American people and say the complaint department's open. We have our own department to handle the victimization or the weaponization of the government and go forward from there. But, I mean, I got attacked. I mean, it is so sophisticated and brilliant how this all went down. I mean, if you look at the MacArthur Foundation and you look at their Nigeria project and, you know, Victoria Nuland's over there looking at the elections, or you look at the MacArthur Foundation Safety and Justice Challenge Grant, which I blew the whistle in my local community, they were hiding the grant from us. But basically, it was critical race theory for the jails.
Oh.
We went from a small town, Rapid City, South Dakota, murder of two a year to 25. And all violent crimes were following that increase. I mean, rapes, everything. Not only that, when the cops would show up, take, for example, somebody that was getting beat up. The cops, they'd get the call for service for aggravated assault. The cops would show up and then reclassify it as mutual combat for the FBI.
Right, and we saw that in D.C., how they were falsifying crime rates that way. So you exposed it. Are you on social media? Is there a way I can find, have you documented this anywhere?
Yeah, you can go to Nick Uhre.
How do you spell that?
N-I-C-K-U-H-R-E 1977 on X. And I think you know my friend Chad Olson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, when I exposed this grant, all hell broke loose for me and my family. I have deplatformed, you name it. And what's so interesting is the way our deplatforming worked, because we own a hotel, the name of the hotel is the Grand Gateway Hotel. And I could get into that with our lawsuit against Expedia and Bookings.com. But, I mean, people really need to wake up on how this took place, how people were being targeted, the role that the NGOs and the nonprofits worked.
Well, tell you what, Nick, it sounds like you have really unique insight on this. I just followed you on X. I think I just followed you. I almost certainly did. I see your first post about how they murdered your mother. I'd love to hear more about this from you, and maybe you can come on and explain it in a full segment. But we're just running out of time right now, and I appreciate your call. And obviously, when they, you know, target you, you get a very clear vision of the complicated and sophisticated networks that they have in operation around the country, and it can seem absolutely overwhelming. I'd love to hear more about that. Thank you for the call, Nick. Thank you for everybody for being here with us. Of course, support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Make sure you get the fanny pack now while you can. The concealed carry pack is on sale. You get those awesome patches, and it won't be here much longer. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com, and we will see you tomorrow for the next episode of The War Room.
Dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
On the magical methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
Abe, I think this is my favorite Alex Jones shirt.
Dude, I totally agree.
Founding fathers on patrol. Washington and Lincoln rocking the latest Alex Jones shirt. Marching past America's monuments. Liberty is awake. Visit thealexjonesstore.com now.
دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد دركة دركة محمد جهاد
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.